Okay, so we are in chapter 13 today of John. We will be going through verses 1 through 20. Now, I'm not a big NFL guy, so I didn't watch the Super Bowl this year. However, even though I didn't watch the Super Bowl, I still heard about the commercial, which is related to what we're talking about today. Anybody know what I'm talking about here? So there was a commercial where they had, and I don't know what church sponsored it. They must have had a lot of money to be able to pay for it during the Super Bowl time. But it was people washing each other's feet. It got a lot of attention afterwards. Some people liked it, some people didn't. So, though we're not going to talk about the commercial per se, it does kind of play in because it did turn into a talking point very recently. So, the thought is, at least from my point of view here, and I could be wrong, and I'd love to hear you guys' opinions at the end here. That commercial, it may have given people the wrong idea of what this event in Scripture symbolizes or teaches. It seems like a lot of people, and a lot of these were probably secular people, but some Christians too, were swayed into thinking that this kind of represented how, like, this washing of the feet represented how we should treat the world. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be humble, which is what that commercial would have represented. I'm not saying that we shouldn't do things for other people, which is what we would have seen in there. I'm not saying that we shouldn't love other people. But the question is, in Scripture, why did this event occur and why was it passed down to us? Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. That's the precursor that we get before this happens here in Scripture. God loves the world. We know that this is to be true. Otherwise, we wouldn't get John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. I don't think anybody in here disagrees with that, that shows God loving the world. So God has given the chance for all people. He's given his Son so that everyone who believes, or at the very least, we'll have the chance to choose or to respond to the message of Christ's death and resurrection. But today we read, a very main line in here is that he loved his own. And so, God being eternal, we know that this also means that God loves his own. An active love, an ongoing love. Now, there is a different relationship there when you look at, when you contrast his active love towards those who are his own and the love that he has for the world. And maybe different relationship isn't the right word, but it seems different on the end of somebody who's responding to him versus somebody who's not. Now, those that have responded, that's you and me. But those who have heard, just heard his loving message, that's your unbelieving neighbor or family member or coworker. And that's different compared to those who have believed in the gospel, those who have responded to the gospel message. So let's get really confusing for just a split second here. And then I promise we won't stay on it. God knows everything, right? That's what we hear from Scripture. That's what we see. God has created everything. God is all powerful. God exists outside of space and time because he was there before they began. And so he sees everything inside of space and time. So before he went on the cross, he knew, before creation even occurred, he knew who would freely respond to the message of salvation. and he knew who wouldn't. You know, last week we talked about Isaiah being given a mission by God to go and preach to these people who are not going to respond. They're not going to come to God. It's almost the exact same thing that God has going on, where he already knows if somebody ultimately will respond or not. Talk about a mission. Now, we don't know who these people are. Some people would claim they have no idea. That's why we are called to preach the gospel, because we are part of God's plan, and we're to preach it to everyone. But in these scriptures, we see for his own. So the world, people that will ultimately reject him all their life, those who will not have a deathbed confession, for those people, God has done tons of things for them their entire life. He has given them life, for one. He has given them blessings, the experiences they've went through in life. He has given them opportunities to hear the gospel, to see creation. But for those who have come to faith in Christ, he has done all things for us, because upon true belief and all that is included in there, being born again, repentance, indwelling of the Holy Spirit, those people are his. So, the disciples in this historical scene are his because he has chosen them, because the Father has given them to him, because he would soon take the punishment for their sin and ours on the cross, because they submitted themselves to Christ's ministry. So let's read our verses here and see what we have going on here in this set of scriptures. So it's chapter 13, verses 1 through 20, where it says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart from the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And during supper, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had handed all things over to him, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, got up from supper and laid his outer garments aside, and he took a towel and tied it around himself. He then poured water into the basin and began washing the disciples' feet and wiping them with the towel which he had tied around himself. So he came to Simon Peter and he said to him, 'Lord, are you washing my feet?' Jesus answered and said to him, 'What I am doing you do not realize now, but you will understand later.' Peter said to him, 'Never shall you wash my feet.' And Jesus answered him, 'If I do not wash you, you have no place with me.' Simon Peter said to him, 'Lord, then wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head.' Jesus said to him, 'He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet. Otherwise, he is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you.' For he knew the one who was betraying him. It was for this reason that he said, 'Not all of you are clean.' When he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, 'Do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are correct, for so I am. So if I, the teacher, the Lord and teacher, washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example so that you would also do just as I did for you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. I am not speaking about all of you. I know the ones whom I have chosen, but this is happening so that the scripture may be fulfilled: He who eats my bread has lifted up his heel against me. For now on, I am telling you before it happens, so that when it does happen, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, The one who receives anyone I send receives me, and the one who receives me receives him who sent me. So in this scene here, we see the humility of Christ. And I say as a humbleness of Christ. And he loves them till the end is what it says. Jesus' public ministry would be over in 24 hours. He has very little time left before he's hanging on the cross for them. So we see him serve and we see him teach his apostles still at this point. And he would love them to the end, that end being the end of his earthly life. Yet for the eternal God, we know, obviously, Jesus' love never ends. We know that the Holy Spirit comes down soon as well to be with us. Now, some translations of this say that he loved them the uttermost, that he loved them to the fullest extent. And I think all of those words are a good way of putting it, because it's showing the extent, the true magnitude of his love for those who are his. So for in this to be sitting at this table, to be Christ, this is most people would be in complete fear because they know what's coming. They have an agitation of what's coming, the beatings, the torture on the cross. But this person who is waiting for this to happen is the same who knew that the Father had given him all things into his hands. So very soon, yes, he would be on the cross, and he would stand there in place of your and my sins, of the apostles' sins, and he would take the wrath of the Father for those sins. But we serve a God of victory. So he wasn't going there as a victim. He's going to the cross as a victor because he knows that he's going to win. He approaches the cross as a victor. And so the cross is just as much about humility and service as the washing of the feet is. In fact, it directly relates. God humbles himself on the cross. God comes down, humbles himself for his creation to take their sin. God humbles himself at the table here with his apostles and does something that he does not have to do. But he comes to it from a position of authority. He lowers himself. It's the authority that sets the standard that he's lowering himself in doing this. It's the same type of example that we are supposed to use in our daily lives as fathers, as husbands, as wives and mothers. We don't have to do the things that we do. We could walk away from them if we wanted to. But God has set a standard for us, and we operate in humility to make these things work. You know, sometimes you will hear people talk about, especially men will say, I'm the head of the household. Biblically, you are supposed to be the head of the household is what it says. But if you're supposed to be modeling Christ, you should be coming at it in a position of humility. Otherwise, you're doing it wrong. Why would a wife be subject to your scriptural authority if you're not even coming at it the right way? So there's a standard that Christ is setting for us. And when it is not modeled in our lives, that's when we start finding things that are broken, whether they be relationships or marriages or homes, absent figures, people who have gone. So this is a great set of verses because it shows us exactly what Christ's thoughts and intentions are on this subject. You know, instead of watching the Super Bowl commercial, you want to know why he washed their feet? All you got to do is read it. It's all right here. He will tell us. So we see him. We see that he washes their feet. We see that Emmanuel, who is God with us, washes the feet of those who are supposed to be his disciples. And he even washes the feet of the snake in the grass. He knows Judas is going to betray him. And he gets on his knees and he washes his dirty feet too. And before this, see, we have the other gospels, so we see what also happened before this. before this, the disciples were acting a little silly. They were debating among themselves. We see this in Luke chapter 22. In Luke chapter 22, verses 23 and 24, it says, "And they began to debate among themselves which one of them it was who was going to do this." They're talking about when Jesus had said that somebody was going to betray him. And so they start arguing amongst each other. What's going to be you? Or is it going to be you? Is it going to be me? And a dispute also developed among them as to which of them was regarded as being the greatest disciple, essentially. So they go from arguing, hey, who's going to betray him, to, hey, which one of us is the best? Which one of us is the greatest disciple in this bunch of people? And they're doing this while they're in front of Christ. He's hearing all of this go on. I don't think he's ever went about them and said who was the greatest. And they're sitting very tightly. You know, you see the picture of the Last Supper, and it makes the table look huge. I don't think it was really that big. And not only that, it was not a supper table like you and me would sit at, where we're sitting with our nice chairs and lifted off the ground, all of that. We got nice spacing in between us. Their table was more like a coffee table height. And you would sit on the floor and you would kind of lean on pillows as you were sitting. You were very close. If you wanted to be away from my dirty feet, that's a bad spot to be at, because you're sitting right at ground level and you're right next to one another like that. Now, apparently, there were no servants around at this point. Maybe nobody had them. I don't know why. But there were no servants around who would do the feet washing. That's who normally would do this. And because there was none, we don't see any of the disciples jump up volunteering to do that. Not that I necessarily blame them. So nobody wants to volunteer to wash feet, though they probably would have washed Christ's if he'd asked. But they were more than willing to sit there and argue about who is the greatest among them. Only the one who the Father has given everything to volunteers to wash feet. The one spoken of in the beginning of John so long ago when we started this book, where it said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, not even one thing has come into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind." This is who got on his knees and washed his servants, his disciples' feet. He was, he is still God, but he came and put on the form of a servant. And here we see him serving. And then we see him serving ultimately on the cross. Now, Peter, poor Peter, he always gives us an example. Peter gives us an example here yet again. He says, "Lord, you're going to wash my feet?" And then he caps it by saying, "Never will you wash my feet, Lord." It's hard to blame him in saying this, but he obviously didn't understand. Peter saw great things during this time. Peter saw Christ's transfiguration. Peter saw Christ walk on water. Peter walked on water when he had enough faith. Peter cast out devils in Christ's name. And then Christ tells him, "Peter, if you do not let me wash your feet, you're going to have no place with me." That's it. So was it about feet? Christ came in humility. In this situation, he comes in humility, putting on human form. He went in humility to the cross. We must come in humility to him. No matter how many great deeds we've done, or no matter how many bad deeds we've done, what we are seeing here is that if you are not cleansed by him, if your sins are not cleansed by him, you have no connection with him. That's what it's talking about here. You will hear when you die, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity." Now, this is not a burden. If you come at this and you see this as a burden, you're looking at it the wrong way. He did not say, Peter, if you don't do enough good works, or Peter, if you don't do the right religious ceremonies, or if you don't go and you say the sinner's prayer, or participate in communion enough, or be water baptized. He says, Peter, if I don't wash you, you're going to have no place with me. Very simple. Very low standard as far as things to do. Jesus' earthly bodily ministry has been over for over 2,000 years now. And we know that he's not coming around, at least I haven't seen him, and washing people's feet. So we know that he's not talking about washing feet. This is being washed in the blood, that we must believe in the gospel message. This is what it's ultimately pointing to, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. We have to believe in the gospel. Paul reiterates the gospel for us so many times in the epistles, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where he says that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. If it was about feet washing, Judas would have been saved. Judas's feet were washed, Judas was not saved. He did not believe in Christ. It's not the water, it's not the skin being cleaned, it's the acceptance of Jesus, of his humble work for us, and then our humility in accepting it. This scene shows that humility of Christ and how he serves sinners. He serves us in that way. This scene of the washing of the feet also counters the attitude that the disciples had at the table seconds prior to this in their silly argument. But for us, this also shows our role in the body of Christ. It shows that, and I'm just as guilty of this as anybody, I think it's hard. There is a hesitancy to be served when you have a need, because we're prideful. Well, I don't need help. I don't need this. Everybody needs help sometime. But it's uncomfortable if you're sitting in that pride to be served. I understand that, because we don't have the right mindset when that happens. But we all need help. Now, unlike what the Super Bowl commercial kind of emphasized, I think, this really was more, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but it seems like this scene was more about being a servant to God's servants. Not that the other part doesn't exist, but that this is what it was, this scene was about. So, sitting down with them, he tells the 12 in Mark chapter 9, he says, if anyone wants to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. So Christ is giving us the key that's saying greatness in heaven is equal to being humble servants here. And Christ tells them again in here, in these messages, in these verses we see, where he says that if I, the Lord, your Lord and teacher, washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet, for I gave you an example so that you would also do just as I did. He says, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is the one who sent him greater than the one who sent. He says, if you know these, here's the key in verse 17 here. He says, if you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. So we are to serve one another. We are to help each other through trials. That's part of being the body of Christ. We are to lift each other up. We are to pray for one another. We are to forgive one another. This is being a servant, and it pleases our Lord according to what he has said.